Luke 2. Verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist or know you not that I must be about my Father's business? We talked about, it's really, the business is not in the text. It's just, I must be about my Father, but it really says, I must be in my Father. The word in is en. And it's this word that can mean a whole range of things. It can mean in or by or with or among. And it's used in there's different tenses or different ways according to this, how the translators saw this the issue. And so it didn't make any sense to them, so that I must be in my Father. So they used the term about and added business. I must be about my Father's business. If he is in the Father, then all he is, I mean, that's what he is. He isn't anything else. That's why he was surprised. And the same is true for the Lord's Prayer, where it says that word "en" is translated on in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth instead of in earth. But in all of the translations of that word, it's translated in almost 2,000 times. And so it's the normal, it's the word that should be translated as in. Except, you know, in the rare circumstances where it could be mean something else. But it's just another emphasis on on this mystery of it, things are what they are. And so you remember, must is the word that means necessity lying in the nature of a thing. It's not a moral obligation. It's the word that means fish swim, birds fly, rocks fall, water is wet. The function of it lies in the nature of the thing. Now, it's hard for us to understand that as applied to human beings. But hopefully the next few verses we'll understand that a little better. And then in verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Just like most people don't understand that saying. And let's look at this understand not. Let's go to Luke 9. This is the lesson for the disciples. In verse 41, and Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son here. This was the demon-possessed son. And he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, while they wondered, every one, at all the things which Jesus did. He said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceive it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Let's go to John 8. This is when he's teaching on forgiveness and adultery and all that. But in starting verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. Notice it says sins, but in Greek it's just sin, singular. You shall die in your sin. I've lost my place. 24. You shall die in your sin, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. So, if you search through the common response to Jesus is they understood not his sayings. And it hasn't changed. Let's go to John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. It's a declarative sentence. His sheep hear his voice. It's in the nature of the thing. The same as the word must that we just studied. If they are not of his sheep, you will not hear his voice. I'm amazed at the simplicity and the elegance.
Everyone have the capacity to understand?
Yeah, everyone. Because
so if you don't understand, is it something that you're leaving behind, or you're faulty in some?
You're not. The only issue is repentance. Without repentance, you cannot hear. But again, we have this word in English, repentance, and it means the same way we have penitentiary and do penance. It just doesn't mean that.
Isn't the cross mixed right up in? I mean, you can't. Repentance and picking up the cross are.
Well, the cross is the defining issue. If you have died, if you have seen your death at the cross, if you've stopped trying to comprehend with your mind, if you have disowned yourself completely, then every person on the face of the earth that has ever been born has the capacity to hear his voice. Because otherwise the mercy and justice of God would have been suspect. It would have been. And again, the people that hear his voice are called the elect only because they're called the elect because God saw the end of the movie. You understand that?
Inability to understand is directly related to
lack of repentance.
Lack of repentance. Because failure to rebellion, whatever it might be, right. You're not doing that, and so you can't understand.
Right, and that's why repentance isn't an act, it's a state of being. It may start out as an act, but by that's why we exhort one another daily. If you see someone that isn't in that status of repentance, then you exhort.
People—they're deceived. They think. They believe.
Right.
That they are.
They've created.
They either understand or they believe they're repenting or some. There's a disconnect somewhere along the line.
Right. And again, the issue then is. That's why out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the repentance is total and you hear his voice, then your speech and your thoughts will automatically be seasoned with salt. It's not something you should do, it's a what is. If your speech and your thoughts aren't seasoned with salt, then you're constantly doing, you're thinking and acting in the same way the Gentiles, speaking the same way the Gentiles do. But again, that's why, let's go to 1 John real quick.
You're saying understanding that it is also acceptance. Isn't that where we get into that free will? Where
we don't have free will. No, we don't have free will. That's another lie of the universe. 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That sounds incredibly arrogant. But it is what it is. It's not something you should do. The only time you can come to full repentance is when you agree with everything in the book of Ecclesiastes. That all of your efforts, all of your thoughts, all of your ideas, all of your plans, all of the work, all of the inventions are vain and empty and chasing wind. And you can hear that, and then 5 minutes later, you're giving breath to your thoughts. Well, that means that you didn't hear. Is that... What?
Well, I know that's true, but...
Man. It's so easy.
You say that all the time, but it's not easy.
Why isn't it?
It might be plain... It might be simple, but that doesn't correlate necessarily to easy.
That's why it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's you slide into him. All right. We're going to talk some more about the not understanding. Let's go to Romans 3. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is none that understandeth, no, not one. It's not, this isn't a should or ought to, it's a what is. You cannot understand if you have the slightest hint of self-realization left in your being. Because that steel curtain will blind your eyes and your ears, that you're dull of hearing. You may look behind the curtain every once in a while. What?
I'm thinking how the concept of self-realization in the first part of your life or the initial part is just all there is. Try and become who the best you can be, and you study and you take courses, you do whatever you do to become something, and then you meet God and it's like everything you've become is an enemy against Him. And then death enters in.
So you become dead. That's how you see.
Now you've got to deny everything it took to get there, which I kind of agree with John. You don't just, you know, maybe slide into it's one way to think, but it's death, which you resist with everything in you.
Yeah, but it's not. That's the whole point of it. If it was that you're supposed to die, then I would agree. There's a battle, and it's difficult. But once you see that you died on the cross and your baptism sealed it because that was your burial, then the flesh is no more to be tested. Therefore, there is no more warfare. You've entered into the what is instead of you've entered into being instead of trying to be. Now, granted, again, it's not up to me to define who is and who isn't, but all I can do is preach the cross. The Heidelberg Disputation. That's what really started the Reformation. It wasn't the Wittenberg door nailing the 95 Theses. The Heidelberg Disputation was this blanket reality that there are only two theologies in the universe, only ever and always have been, the theology of the cross or the theology of glory. The theology of glory is doing anything or whatever to gain something for you. The theology of the cross is your total and complete death and you being 100% in subjection to the Father. Once you've resurrected yourself from the deadly head wound, then the snake will start acting again, and so you'll think there's a battle. Well, just see, the son of a bitch is dead. The mind has no function.
Does not that phenomena take place in every believer, that the snake resurrects itself? I mean, that is part of it wouldn't be written in there if it wasn't going to happen. And then there's exhortation so that you understand, you see it, you know when it takes place, you recognize it. And then repentance is the option, I guess.
The most dangerous part of that beast, let's go to Romans 13, I mean Revelation 13. And I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw as one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly head wound was healed. and all the world wondered after the beast. The only issue here is that all the world is wandering after their own mind. That's the only thing that all the world has ever wandered after. You understand that? Now, and they worship the dragon, which they have, they may have all these beasts and all these heads and horns and stuff, but in reality, they're still only worshiping the dragon.
Who's the dragon? What's the dragon?
What's this? The dragon is what's revealed in the stars, who he is, but it's the great Satan, the opposer. That's why Jesus called the disciples that believed on him, the Jews that believed on him, you are your father, the devil.
Worshipping the dragon is worshipping, same as the beast, isn't it? Or
the beast, well, the dragon? Beast is what gives the, you're the beast, and the dragon is gives you the power to speak.
So I'm in league with Satan.
Automatically, your mind is, yes. Without exception. Listen. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? But they're really worshiping the dragon. Again, in your imagination, you're always successful. Who is able to make war? And was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. Now the 42 months, 3.5 years... is that mystical time between Christ's baptism, which was the death, but his physical death didn't occur until 42 months later. Well, that's the only way. All of the human race has been living in that 42 months. That's the time. That's the only reason. That's why it's there. Now watch. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now, remember, blaspheme is a technical term. It means to deny the foundation. If ever you're in fear, you've denied the foundation. If ever you're in worrying about you or getting your back, you've returned. But if you do this thing, and this is the mystery. This is how you think there's a battle. Because you're running around, and all of a sudden, something transpires. Something's gotten your attention. And all of a sudden, you give breath to the beast. You bring life into him. And then from then on, until the repentance is total, You're still what you're doing. Your mind is the veil is down. You'll hear the words of God, but you'll still somehow apply them to self. But here, watch now. And there was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's what this thing is. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. As long as your dwelling place is this earth, and the evidence that you think it's your dwelling place because you give it breath. Our dwelling place is hid with Christ in God on the mercy seat. That's our dwelling place. That's our home. That's our place of birth. But when I return to the earth, to return to time and space, to give breath to what's going on, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's political opinions or some idiotic plan or idea you have, then you've resurrected. But watch, when you get religious, watch what happens. Well, it says, if any man have ear to hear, let him hear. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And then I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. It's coming out of this earthen vessel. Before it was out of the sea. And he had two horns like a lamb. Now he's religious. Now he's a Christian. But he still, he spake as a dragon. Because it's, again, it's self-realization. The theology of glory. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly head wound was healed. And that's the mystery of God. Now again, now let's, we could go on and on, but look, go down here to, and it, you know, it's this thing about what is the patience of the saints in verse 10. Now, then it defines it in Hebrew, I mean in Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. They're not even aware of their works. They're following. But once I try to have something that leads me, whether it's an agenda or an idea or a plan, then what I've done, I've given power to that first beast that's now become religious because he's got two horns like a lamb. But here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. That's not talking about Harry. That's talking about you and I right now. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. Yet they may rest, totally rest, total peace, because you're on the mercy seat. You're at the first source of all things. And their works do follow them. You're not even aware of what you're doing. This isn't a philosophy. This is a life. This isn't an option. This isn't a way to or how to. Amen?
I think I've got an inkling on this battle thing where we're talking about the beast and the dragon, and talked about being revealed in the heavens, and just during that part of this time, the idea of a battle is so much bigger than any soul can engage in, that your only weapon is the cross. You reckon yourself dead, and that's where the battle was won.
Right.
And that's what you entertain.
That's all there is.
Yeah, but to think you can fight and win, you're a fool, because it's over and it's already been won. So right. There's only one answer to the question.
There is no battle.
There's no battle. You go to the cross. You return.
If you feel there's a battle, and you know you've resurrected the evil one.
That's when you're fighting, you're jousting at windmills.
Well, you're doing is you're making the cross of Christ of none effect. It's not difficult. It's only difficult if you're trying to keep yourself alive, if you're trying to keep the I motive. But just think of often, if you read just through the scriptures, often they understood not his sayings. You can understand what happens when you understand not. Then you build religion, ways of life. You build plans and ideas. You get involved in politics and political issues. You have opinions. You just act just like a Gentile. You esteem what the world esteems. But we are the offscouring of all things. There's nothing that's attractive to the world about us. I mean, they see, may see a sense of peace or something.
Well, the off-scouring to me part is we don't buy into their chili. We don't participate in their game.
No, the off-scouring means off-scouring. It means they think we're the trash, the dump heap. I think they get to know us. They'll know it for sure.
They'll know it for sure. Confirm.
But as long as you have something to do, something to protect, even families, then you will be deceived. Wait until we get to be subject. He was subject to them all the days of his life. I mean, to his parents. Anyway, we didn't get as far as, we didn't get very far. But anybody have, John? You see, it's a what is rather than a how to what should.
Sure. What I can say is the evil of trying to understand. Trying to apprehend something, trying to understand it, trying to make it all fit into this nice little deal so that you know that if I do this and do this and do this, you know, everything will be great. Can't do that.
No, because the Holy Spirit will reveal it, whatever, at the right time.
Maybe that's the origin of where everybody begins to get off base somehow.
Yeah, but right now, for instance, in the stars, we're studying Aquarius as one of the signs of the zodiac. And Aquarius is directly related to the Feast of Tabernacles. And therefore it's related to the it's not just directly, it is the Feast of Tabernacles, and it is the great water ceremony of drawing of water, and it is the final preparation for the bride, and it is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all that is revealed in those star maps, if you had the eyes, ears to hear and eyes to see. That's why in all ancient, this thing about the song from Hare, we're dawning of the age of Aquarius, peace and understanding. Yeah, there's all that stuff because only the bride is left, and only the bride is left in eternity. Time is no more. The marriage supper of the Lamb is come. When the bride had made herself ready, she made herself ready by 100% repentance, and her rightness was only him in every issue. And her speech was seasoned with salt. I mean, if this isn't true, you guys should shoot me, because this is just crazy. I told you before that it says clearly, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come until the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Well, I believe we've revealed it. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is you and I, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But he sits there every moment, judges, discerns, judges, 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 judges. But he thinks he's sitting there as God. The only definition of as a God is one who judges for himself good and evil. And so you just, doesn't matter whether you're religious or a Baptist or an atheist or an Arab or Muslim or whatever, those things don't mean nothing. The only thing that matters is that religion that's going, the order of the temple inside you. And that can only come when you stop trying, when you see your death. Otherwise, you just have a form of godliness, but deny his power, because you got to think you got to do something. They understood not his sayings. Amen. Gary? Still cogitating.
I amend you.
Mm-hmm.
I amend you.
Amen.
You got an amen.
Well, I know I got an amen, but it was a conditional amen.
Okay.
All right. Again, the only thing, it's just one simple little thing. Repentance. Abandonment. Disowning of self. Disowning of you and yours. Forever.
I've done that.
Take a big guy.